I invite you to be seated. The passage we're going to be talking about today is from John chapter 20, beginning with the 19th verse. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. All right, so there, Holy Week now has been almost 2 weeks ago, if you can believe that. 2 weeks ago was Palm Sunday, and of course that week we had Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter. And so I had four sermons, you know, for those four services, and then having to come up with a sermon for today, I wanted to go into my room and lock myself in, because I was running out of stuff in my head. But as always, the Holy Spirit makes things clearer the more you meditate on his word. And so the context we have for this passage is it's obviously Easter day. And the women have come and told the disciples about what they witnessed. We talked about that last night. You know, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the empty tomb, and then they went back and told the disciples. Well, in the book of John, we are told that John and Peter took off to the tomb to go see it. Well, they did, and they found that it was empty. So what did they do? They ran back to this room, the upper room, and locked themselves in. And now it's Easter evening, and Jesus comes to them without using the door. See, now that Jesus is resurrected, he is showing his divinity more and more. Comes in and appears before them. So the one word that really jumped out to me here in these first five verses, the first word was the word fear. This is the first time Jesus has appeared to his disciples since he rose. And they are behind locked doors, as I said, as it says in there. And they are probably, we're not for sure, but there's a lot of archaeological, you know what word I'm trying to say, evidence. We learned this when we were over in Israel, that the room that they were probably in was the same room that they celebrated the Last Supper with Jesus, which was a room in the southwest corner of Jerusalem. And this was the home of John Mark, the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. And so this is where they were locked in. This is a very secure home. It's in the more richer part of Jerusalem. So they're locked in. They're safe and secure. And Jesus comes and appears to them, and they are afraid. You know, this seems like a natural reaction to everything that has just happened. And you know, I think we can possibly here identify with the disciples. Just think about the roller coaster of emotions these disciples have been on the whole Holy Week. They come in with Jesus on Palm Sunday amidst everybody cheering and excited. They're thinking, you know, we're going to hold really cool positions in this new kingdom. They get the Thursday, Jesus washes their feet, he tells them to love one another as I have loved you, and then gives them Holy Communion. And then things seem to start go downhill really quickly. And they all take off and desert Jesus. So I'm saying that not only were they afraid, I'm guessing these disciples probably were experiencing anxiety. And if they diagnosed such a thing in those days, they probably had a little depression. So I got a question for you to ponder today. When has fear taken over in your life? Because it has definitely taken over the disciples' lives at this moment. And you know, sometimes this fear, I have in quotes, because sometimes it takes the form or leads to anxiety, which is a real disorder, or depression, which is a real disorder. And this kind of a fear can trigger those things. And you know, one of the natural things to do when we are afraid is to hunker down and lock our doors, because it gives us that sense of security from the world. It's easier to stay hunkered down, locked behind doors, than to face the world. So maybe you don't actually go into your room and lock your door. You might not do that. But maybe you check out of life. Maybe by getting on your phone to just focus on some stupid videos. I may or may not be speaking about myself. Maybe you check out by vegging out in front of the TV. Maybe you self-medicate with something that makes you feel better. Whatever it is, fear, anxiety, depression, these things are very real things. And I've had no problem admitting this to you before, but trust me, I know. And so May, coming next month, is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so we're going to be doing some things here to help with that. But since COVID, there has been, in the year 2021, they counted 5.4 million people took a mental health screen. That's up 500% from before COVID. You see, Satan wants us to keep our focus on our fears. Satan loves that we struggle with fear. He loves when we are diagnosed with anxiety or when we are diagnosed with depression, because he wants us to feel like we're all alone. And he wants us to feel like we are isolated. And who could possibly like you? Who could possibly want to be around you? The world is going down. Satan wants you to think all these things. But not Jesus. Which leads greatly into the second word that just leapt off the pages as I was reading this passage. And that's the word peace. First one was fear. Second one was peace. You see, in both of the appearances that Jesus made, he began with the words, peace be with you. The first time was that Easter evening. And then 8 days later, by the way, did you catch that little nugget? 8 days later, the disciples are still in this room. I'm guessing they went out for food and stuff. But they're still in this room 8 days later when Jesus comes again to them, when Thomas is there. And begins with the words, peace. And so on your sheets, I have this sentence. Fear and locked doors doesn't stop Jesus from being with you. It's not going to stop him. Whether you have anxiety, whether you have depression, whether you're doubting, whether you're fearing, whether whatever, it's not going to stop Jesus from being with you. Remember, the disciples had faith already. They've already been given the gift of faith. This is a gift. Remember, it's not something we do by ourselves. They already had the Holy Spirit, but they were seriously doubting. They were scared. They were anxious because they just saw the guy that they've been following for 3 years brutally killed. And they're afraid that they're going to be next. They don't know what to do. They feel all alone. They feel isolated. But they already had faith. But their faith was definitely weak at this point. No question about it. But they still had it. And that's how amazing, by the way, the gift of faith is. And then Jesus appears to them when they are at their weakest of their faith. And just to prove to them that he wasn't a ghost or that they didn't need to be afraid of him, he had them touch him. Touch the holes in his hands and his feet and his side where they put the spear in. Jesus is still fully human. And we know that later on he even has a meal with them to prove that Jesus is still fully human. And this is the Jesus we will see on the last day. And so the question is, when Jesus gets there and appears to them the first time and the second time, does he scold them? You know, they all abandoned him. They all took off. You know, we give Thomas, poor Thomas, such a hard time. He's known as Doubting Thomas. But all the other ones were the same way. They just happened to be there the first time Jesus came. But poor Thomas is known as Doubting Thomas. Does Jesus get mad at them for doubting? Or for being afraid, being anxious? No. He begins by bringing peace. And just like with the disciples, the next sentence here, Jesus comes to us in the midst. And you can put anything on that line that in the midst of our fear, if you suffer from anxiety, if you suffer from doubting, if you suffer from depression, in the midst of all that, Jesus comes and brings you peace. And this peace that Jesus brings is hard to understand. It's hard to explain because this is not the kind of peace the way the world defines it. Because we have Jesus' peace even though things around us are not peaceful at all. But we still have this peace that Jesus brings us. When I am triggered, I pray. Because I know now when I get triggered. And so when I pray, I ask for this. And I can't explain it. It's hard to explain. But there's a peace that comes over me. And the peace that this peace that we have, by the way, is with God. We have peace with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus took the wrath for us in our place. We are now at peace with God. Jesus fixed that great separation that was between us when he died on that cross. And so there's a great passage in Philippians chapter 4. I have it up on the screen. That talks about this a little bit. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here it is. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this is the peace that Jesus brings to you when you are at your lowest, when you are at your loneliness, when you are at the point where you just feel like you're isolated from everybody, no matter what it is, Jesus brings this peace to you. Time and time again. Because you see, the peace of God sustains us and it directs us. And you know, just like Jesus came back 8 days later because Thomas wasn't there the first time, Jesus keeps coming back to each and every one of you and me. Day after day, week after week. So Jesus comes to you every week here on Sundays in the water when we are reminded of our baptisms. We are to remember our baptism every day. Remember the water that washed us clean, the gift of faith we are given, the gift of the Holy Spirit brings us this peace. He comes to us every week in the bread and the wine, which we celebrate here at Promise every Sunday. He's coming to us. The Holy Spirit uses this meal to strengthen your faith, to bring you this peace, to remind you that you have peace with God. And of course, he comes to you in his word. When we read his word, when you read his word at home in your daily lives, Jesus comes to you every single day. And he says the same thing to you that he said to those disciples the first two times he came to them. He says, "Peace be with you." And you noticed he tells them, after he brings this peace, he tells the disciples what they are now to do. He gives them a job. And you know what? These 11 disciples did just that. They went out on fire for Jesus. We see that when Jesus appeared to them, he breathed on them and get the Holy Spirit. Remember, they already had the Holy Spirit, but they just needed more. Give them a little extra measure. And then Pentecost comes, and they even get more. And that's when you heard that Acts passage that was read earlier. Peter and John don't care that they're arrested. See, these disciples did the job Jesus told them to do, and the world has been shaking ever since, for almost 2,000 years now. Remember what I said last week in Easter? The gates of hell will not be able to prevail or stop Jesus' church. Wanted to read to you just one last time here, verse 29 of John 20. And it's the one that Megan pointed out in the children's message. Jesus said to them, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." You know who he's talking about there? You said it. Us. You and me. We have not seen Jesus. We have not touched his hands, his feet. But we believe because we have the gift of faith. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Let's pray. Blessed be the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We praise and bless your holy name now and forever. Sunday, today is the day we remember the resurrection of your Son Jesus. By Jesus' death and rising,